Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. God is great. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. It is a privilege to be here this morning to speak to you. We have heard some tremendous preaching already this morning. Amen. Brother Cabrera, Brother Hyler. Great, great preaching. I am not in the least bit worried about the future of our district. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Genesis, chapter number 1. I just want to say how good it is to see each of you here at Senior Camp this year. I believe God is going to do some great things for us, in us, and then as we leave, through us. You believe that? God can do some great things in us, but if He doesn't start doing some great things through us, what we have done here is really of no meaning. If when we leave here, we leave what we had here on our seat. We've got to leave this place and let God begin to do some things through us. This is not just about what I can get at Senior Camp. This is about what I can take with me and God can do through me when I get back home. Amen? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse number 11, and God said, let the earth, everybody say the earth, everybody say the source, bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth, everybody say the earth, everybody say the source, brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters, everybody say the waters, everybody say the source, bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. Everybody say the waters. Everybody say the source. After their kind. And every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth every living creature, or the living creature after its kind. Everybody say the earth. Everybody say the source. After his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Everybody say God. Everybody say the source. And let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. One more verse, Acts chapter 17, verse number 28. Reads, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for we also are His offspring. Just for the sake of reading, let's read one more verse. Romans chapter 6, verse number 12. Let not sin. Everybody say, let not. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, you have to let sin. Let not sin, therefore, reign or have dominion in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under Grace, I want to preach to you for a little while this morning on this subject, born to exercise dominion. But say it with me, born to exercise dominion. Now lift your hands and praise God one more time. Clap your hands one more time as you're seated. Amen. Anybody going to preach with me this morning? Dominion. When one speaks of dominion, they speak of superiority or rulership. To have dominion over something or someone is to be in a state of superiority or rulership over them. In other words, when you have dominion, you have the upper hand. You possess the power. You are in charge. Everybody say amen. Amen. Growing up, I had two sisters. One of them about 4 years younger than I. One of them about 4 years older than me. And having an older sister meant that she had a few years' experience on me. She had a little more under her belt, a little more intellect in the ways of the world. And I found out that with years and age, and there came size and there came strength. And for many years, I dealt with a sister who exercised dominion over me. She had a little bit of years on me, so she had more experience and was a little smarter and a little stronger than I was, and she knew how to manipulate me and to rule over me. And Brother Bradford, she would play kind of manipulative games with me and try to get me to do things that she wanted me to do, but make me feel like I was in charge. You know those games where you say, "Hey, Bob, I bet you can't beat your last time in running to my room and getting my book for me and getting back to the living room." And so being the athlete that I was, I would get into the starting blocks and I would race down the hallway, bounce off the end of the wall at the end of the hallway, grab the book and try to beat my previous time back to the living room to prove to her that I could do it. With a smug smile on my face, I would grin, and when she would tell me that I beat my previous time of 8.9 seconds down the hall. And I thought that I was in charge. I thought that I had the upper hand on her. And it was simply her way to get me to do what she really wanted me to do in the first place. But I thought I was cool. I thought I was in charge of my destiny. I thought I was the one that was getting the upper hand on her. And while she would have me to do things like, you know, she'd say things to me like, "You know, I'll bet you can't carry the trash can all the way from the side of the house out to the curb." So I'd walk over to the trash can. I'd pick that trash can up and I'd struggle and I'd strain, get it out to the curb and turn around and smile at her and with a swagger walk back up the driveway. Like I had really showed her something by being able to drag that trash can to the corner when in all reality it was her responsibility to do the job. But I was in charge. But I was simply living under her dominion, until one day I woke up and I realized just who I was. I realized, and it takes, you know, I'm a little slower than some of you, but I realized, you know, I was born a boy. And after all, boys are stronger than girls. Or at least they ought to be. And I realized that in this scenario, I should be the one that's exercising the dominion. And it was a sad day in the life of my older sister when I woke up and I realized just who I had been born to be. I stand before you this morning. Most of you have been born again of the water and of the Spirit of Almighty God.
The greatest fear that the devil has this morning is that young men and young ladies wake up in Senior Camp 2001 and realize who they were born to be. You were not born some second-class citizen in this world. You do not have to walk down the corridors of your high school and touch your head and feel like you are inferior to some punk that's walking down the aisle trying to intimidate you under the influence of Satan. You have been born of the water and of the Spirit of Almighty God, and He gave you dominion over sin. And I've come to remind you this morning just who you were born to be. You see, we live in a world and we live amongst a people, and especially a younger generation who is intimidated a lot of times by the sin that is all around them. You go to your high schools and you hear about the parties and you hear about the drugs and you hear about the sex, and if you're not careful, it will begin to wear on you to the point where you feel like that you are just the odd man out. And that you just can't overcome this. And there are many of you that are in this place this morning, no doubt, as Brother Mitchell preached last night, you have had things happen between last senior camp and this senior camp that you're ashamed of. Some of you have committed sexual sins, no doubt. Some of you have committed sins of morality. Some of you have been dishonest. Some of you have been rebellious. And it's simply because you have failed to realize who you are. You say, well, you don't understand the sin that's in our world. You don't understand the pressures that are all around me. But I have a Bible that tells me that where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. I don't care how dark the night, I don't care how hard the sin may be all around you, where that sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Hallelujah. Come on, we serve a God whose grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter how much pressure comes against you. If you will hold a hold of grace and say, God, I'm holding on to you, there is no sin that can beset you. We have got to understand that we are born a people of dominion, born to exercise dominion. From the beginning, man was to have dominion over all the earth. The Bible tells us that all the animals were brought before Adam so that he could name them because he had dominion over them. Psalm chapter 8, verse number 6 tells us that man was made to have dominion over the works of God's hands, and God has put all things. Everybody say all things. All things under His feet. That includes Satan. Some of you need to stop tiptoeing through your Christian existence and realize God has given you dominion over death, over hell, over the grave. It does not matter what Satan brings against you. God has put all things under your feet and put them under your dominion. We were created a people of dominion, and Satan's plan, you see, he understands that he cannot take dominion from you. It must be relinquished. Hear me, young people. Satan cannot take dominion from you. It is something you willfully have to submit unto him. And so he tries to manipulate us into relinquishing it. You see, he has earned the title of father of lies. He's the master of half-truths and manipulation. You look at the Garden of Eden. The devil didn't parade in, Brother Sarge didn't say, God's dead. See, most of you today, you're not going to be tripped up by the devil coming to you and say, well, God's dead. There's no God. He will come in and he will manipulate you. He will toy with your mind. He will bring half-truths your way and try to confuse your thinking. And that's what he did with Eve. He came into the garden that she already had a dominion over. And he said, if you will eat of this fruit, you'll become like gods. The Bible tells us that her and Adam were already created having dominion over all the earth. What more could she wanted? What more could Eve have wanted? But Satan came in and said, you know, if you will just eat of this, I will make you like gods. And so he confused the issue, and what Eve already possessed dominion over, he tried to give her. You hear me? He tried to tell her, if you'll do this, then I'll give you some power that you don't already have. But she already had the power. And see, the devil will try to walk into your lives and he'll try to sell you half-truths and say, if you'll act in a certain way, you'll have more popularity, you'll have more power around the friends that you have. When in reality, you have all power in heaven and earth in the Spirit of God that is residing within you. You already have dominion. God has placed sin under your feet. There's nothing that can come against you that can defeat you as long as you hold on to the dominion God has already given unto you. It was by Adam's mistake that all men were made sinners. The greatest robbery, hear me, the greatest robbery of all time was what was taken from Adam and Eve in the garden. He took from them dominion over sin. And all of humanity lost their dominion over sin. But then Jesus came along in Romans chapter 5, verse number 17, said, for if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign or have dominion in life by one Jesus Christ. In other words, what was lost in Adam when Jesus came on the scene, you regained dominion over sin. See, when Paul said, when you yield your bodies as instruments of righteousness and come alive to Jesus, sin no longer has dominion over you. See, so many of you, probably the majority of you this morning, don't really believe that. You walk out of here and you feel like that you're at the mercies of sin. That if sin catches you at just the right time, that you just have no power over it. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Every sin that comes against you, you have power over. You can stand in the face of. You have dominion over. The only power sin has in your life is what you freely give it. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, but yield your members as instruments unto righteousness. See, when God looks at us, He sees us as instruments of dominion. You hear that? When God looks at each and every one of us, He sees us as instruments of dominion. He does not see somebody that comes from a broken home and say, well, they can't do anything in the kingdom of God. He does not look at situation. He does not look at background. All He looks to see is if you have regained the spirit of dominion in your life. You see, we need to understand that in each and every one of our lives, we have power. We have power. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you have power. Turn to another neighbor and tell them you have power. But understand this. Hear me, young people. You got to understand that you cannot sustain victory and dominion if you do not stay close to the source of your power, to the source of your being. In our scripture reading this morning, I read to you about the herbs and the fruit trees and the grass. And when God created them, He spoke to their source. He said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the trees, the herbs. And I don't know, Brother Bradford, Brother Sargent, how it happened. I don't know if all of a sudden that trees just shot up out of the ground and grass sprang up out of the ground. Or I don't know if they slowly began to grow. But what I do know is that they came from their source. They began to grow from the ground. The thing that is necessary for their survival, they began to grow from. Stay with me. When He began to create the fish and the whales, what did He do? He spoke to their source and He said, let the waters bring forth. And the waters began to bring forth fish and great whales from their source. Whenever He brought forth the animals, the beasts, He said, let the earth bring forth. And out of the earth, their source, came these creeping beasts. But when it came to you and I, He did not speak to the water. He did not speak to the earth. He spoke to Himself. And He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. In other words, the thing that is necessary for us to survive, we sprang forth from. Come on. You take a tree and you pull it out of the earth that is its source and you lay it aside from its source. It will begin to wither. It will begin to die. Its leaves will become brittle because it's away from its source. You take a fish out of the water and put it on the earth, it's going to flop, it's going to flail, and it's going to die away from its source. You take an animal, you throw it into the water, before long it's going to drown and it's going to die. You take a young person that is supposed to be close to God and residing in fellowship with Him away from the presence of God and you will die. You cannot survive away from your source. And what, hear me, what animal, what fish, hang on. What fish would swim up to the shore, wagging its little tail, look longingly at the shore, where all the cows are roaming, where all the dogs and cats are playing? What fish would swim up to the shore and say, "That's not fair. That's not right. They get to be up on the shore there, and I've got to stay here in the water." And what fish would begin to jump and try to get up on the shore? And then back up again and race up and jump up on the shore. While his other fish friends are saying, "What are you doing, man? You're crazy. Why are you trying to get up on the shore? You're going to die up there. You can't survive up there." He said, "Oh, yes, I can." And he'd jump up on the shore and he'd, "See, I'm still alive." And he'd jump back in the water. See there? I can live on the shore. And he'd jump up on the shore again and flap a little bit and then go back in the water and say, "Look, I can still survive. I'm going to jump up, back up on the shore and flop a little bit." Before long, he jumps too far up on the shore and he breathes for a little while and he flops for a little while. But before long, he looks back and says, "Oh my God, I'm too far from where I belong. I need to get back in the water." And if he's not careful, he's jumped too far up on the shore and he can't get back where he belongs. Come on, you need to hear me this morning. What cow would walk up to the shore? Shore's edge and look at the ocean and say, "It's not fair, all those fish getting to swim around in there. I have to stand up here with all the flies, all the pests that come against me, these things, the heat and all the pressure of living out here on the land and all those fish are out there in the cool water." And he walk out in up to his ankles and look around at all of the rest of the bovine population and look at me, I'm in the water. "No, you better be careful. Don't go too far. If you go too far, you're going to get too far out in that water and you're going to get in over your head." And, "Oh, no, I can take this." And he walks out a little bit further in the water. Now he's up to his shoulders. And, "Boy, this is feeling good. I'm enjoying this. Man, this is nice." And then he gets a little further. And now his head's just sticking up. And he's laughing at all his friends. "Look at me. I'm in the water. I'm having a good old time. And you guys are up there in the heat. You guys are up there in the pressure where all the flies are. And all the tormentors are. And here I am. And I'm having a good time." And he takes one more step. And there's no more ground. There's no more source. He's gone too far from his source. And now he begins to cow paddle. And he's trying to stay above the water. And he's looking around at his friends, and his friends are saying, "Man, come back." He's saying, I can't get back to my source. I can't feel the ground that I came from, and I'm having a hard time out here." And he begins to paddle, and he survives for a little while. Before long, you see that poor fat cow that's suffering from mad cow disease because he should have stayed on the shore, went too far from where he belonged. You know where I'm going this morning. What young person would walk to the edge of a world and look and say, "Well, it's too pressured here in the church. There's too many tormentors here in the church. There's too much hardship here in the church. I'm going to walk out in the world for a little bit. And look, I can survive. Then I'll jump back in on Sunday night and I'll shout and get back to my source. Then I'll go about waist deep, enjoy the things of the world, and then walk back into the church the next Sunday. Bless God. See, I can survive." And go back a little bit further over their shoulders until one day they go too far and they don't understand why they can't get back where they belong. Young people of the Western District, you need to understand where your dominion resides. You need to understand where your power resides. It's not out there. It's inside the church, close to your source. It's not in a world that's going to pollute you, that's going to lead you to spiritual death. It's in the church, close to God, who is your source. Paul said, "For in Him we live and move and have our being. We are His offspring." Everybody say, in Him.
In Him.
Say, in Him.
In Him.
I live.
I live.
I move.
I move.
I have my being. For I am His offspring. Do you believe that this morning? Clap your hands and magnify Him. As long as we stay connected to our source, we will have dominion over Satan and over sin. I don't care who you are here this morning, God has a plan for your life. Some of you don't believe that. I said, I don't care who you are this morning, God has a plan for your life. I don't care if you come from a broken home. I don't care if you have a handicap. I don't care if the devil tries to attack you in your physical body. God has a plan for your life. It's up to you to take dominion over it. Don't let the devil tell you you don't have a ministry. Don't let Satan look you in the eye and say you made mistakes last year or 4 years ago or 6 months ago. If you'll come back to God, place yourself in His hands, you can have dominion over sin, and God can do a work in your life. You look at Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1 through 17. Here, there's 42 generations of Jesus' lineage are laid out before us. If you read down through the names of those people, you're going to find some people in His parentage or in His lineage of some pretty sordid backgrounds. You're going to find some murderers. You're going to find some liars. You're going to find some cheaters. You're going to find some harlots. You're going to find some thieves. You're going to find some supplanters. In Jesus' heritage that He was born out of, I believe the reason why the writer of Matthew gave us that list is to show to us it doesn't matter who's in our past. It doesn't matter who our parents are. It doesn't matter who our grandparents are. I don't buy this. My grandparent was an alcoholic, thus I must be an alcoholic. Don't give me that. If you have been born of the water and of the Spirit, you have taken on a new nature. Jesus had a sordid background, yet He exercised dominion over sin. You say, how did He do it? I'll tell you how. You look at John's accounting of Jesus' lineage, and he simply said He was the only begotten of the Father. So here we have Matthew that gives all these generations a background in the flesh. Everybody say flesh. His fleshly background. He gives all this lineage. But when John stepped forward and began to pen his gospel, he said He was the only begotten of the Father. In other words, it doesn't matter who your fleshly lineage is. When you are born of God, when you are born of the Spirit, your spiritual birth supersedes your natural birth. Somebody hear me. I don't care who your parents are. If you're born of the Spirit, it supersedes your family lineage. I don't care how many drug addicts, how many harlots, how many cheats, how many liars. When you're born of the Spirit, your spiritual birth supersedes your fleshly. John chapter 1, verse number 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power." How many received God this morning? We got that many people that need the Holy Ghost here. How many of you have received God? So then you have the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. Even to them that believe on Him, His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So if you're here this morning, you say, well, I did this last year. Have you repented? Okay, well, you're born of God. You now have dominion over sin. Your past does not have power over you. Some of you need to hear me this morning. You have made mistakes. Some of you young ladies have lost your purity. Some of you young men have lost your purity since last senior camp. And you're sitting here and they're talking about shouting and dancing and glorifying God, and condemnation is all over you. And you've gone to the altar 5, 6, 7, 8 times repenting over the same sin. I've come to tell you this morning, quit. Begin to rejoice in God. You now have dominion over sin. You don't have to go back to what you were doing. You don't have to go back to the same sin. Don't let Satan tell you you cannot have dominion after you've already come back to God. You have power this morning. God help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is an old creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a victim of his past. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he, once a sexual sinner, always a sexual sinner. No, that's not my Bible. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Some of you need to grab hold of some newness this morning. Come on, young ladies. You don't have to worry about what you were. Think about what you are today. You're a new creature. Get as close to Him when you go home so that you can begin to flourish and have dominion over sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only way that can happen is that we begin to seek Him. You see, it's not enough to live from senior camp to praise on the mountain to youth convention to drama tour, then back to senior camp. And if I can just make it to the next senior camp, Sister Jones, everything's going to be all right. That's not God's will. The Bible tells us that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if you leave this place this week, and you'll go home and you'll find yourself a personal closet of prayer. I'm not talking about just when they call a prayer meeting at church, just when they call a five-day fast. But you go home and say, God, every day I'm going to seek You. I'm going to be diligent in my searching after You. I want to get as close to You as I can. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us the great cloud of witnesses that prove you don't have to be a victim of your past. You look in the roll call of faith and you're going to find men and women who made mistakes. They weren't always morally right. They weren't always on the front row, so to speak. But their faith kept them diligent. They kept searching God. They kept seeking after Him. They kept believing in Him. And as long as we can do that, young people, He will reward us according to our diligence. You look at the Apostle Paul. Talk about a forgettable past. You talk about disappointment. There's a chain falling. Anybody feel any of your chains beginning to fall off today? I feel a spirit of defeat in this place. Young people thinking that I have to stay bound to my sexual sin. I don't know why I'm stuck on this. But some of you young ladies, you've made mistakes. And I've come to proclaim to you this morning, if you'll come back to God, God will give you dominion over that sin. Young men, you don't have to be a victim to your sexual appetites. You can come to this altar this morning and say, God, I want to reclaim dominion over sin. I don't want to let sin reign in my mortal body anymore. Hallelujah. Come on, let's magnify Him. Worship Him. God. But the Apostle Paul had a forgetful past. But what I like about him is that he also had a forgetful attitude. Although he had things that were behind him that he wasn't real proud about, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press, I seek diligently. I don't want to worry about what I did yesterday. What I'm concerned about is, God, what can I do today and what can I do tomorrow for You, forgetting those things which are behind. You look at the disciples. Jesus in Luke 10:19 told these disciples, many of whom had past mistakes. You understand the disciples weren't spiritual heroes. They were just men that God used. A lot of them had failures. But He looked at those same disciples and said, behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. In other words, He was saying, get out of your past. Get out of your past. Don't worry about what you did yesterday. Today I'm giving you power. Today I'm giving you dominion. If you'll leave this place and you begin to take authority, God can do some things through you. He said, I give you power greater than your enemy. You see, the devil is powerful. The sergeant, he's powerful. He comes against me powerfully. Oh, not you? Anybody, the devil comes against powerfully? And I know we hear it a lot, but the Scripture is still true. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me. That He didn't say that he that is in the world isn't great. He didn't say that he didn't have power, but what he did say is that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In other words, when the devil comes against you in a great fashion, you just need to look him in the face and you say, you know what? I feel the temptation. I feel the pull. I feel the struggle, but I have a promise that if I'll stand up and I'll take hold of my dominion and realize the only way you can get this from me, Satan, is for me to give it to you. The only way you can begin to have sin reign in my body is for me to let you have it. But if you will walk out of this place, young men and young ladies, and realize, the Bible tells us that Satan walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, I've heard that verse preached, and we hear it a lot. But you understand? Everybody understands simile. Everybody English, like or as, it means that something is similar to, does something. It doesn't say they are. They do it similar to. And the Bible says Satan is as a roaring lion walketh about. He's not a roaring lion. The devil is not a lion. The only lion that I find in the Scripture is a lion of the tribe of Judah. And if he is my father, you know what that makes me? The same. In other words, when the devil comes to me as a roaring lion, what I can do is look back at him and say, you're an imposter. I'm the only one with power here. I'm the one that has the ability to roar in your face. I have dominion. You're under my feet, bub, remember? You're the one that's under my feet. I have been given power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Some of you need to realize who you are this morning. You are a child of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when the enemy roars in your face, you need to stand and say, I don't think so. I hate fakers. Let me rephrase that. I don't hate them. I dislike them. I see them flipping in your Bible back there. He hates somebody. I dislike fakers. I don't like people who pretend to be something they are. I don't like people who pretend to be my friend one day, and then when they're with somebody else, they see me and it's like, oh, I'm with somebody cooler than you today. I don't have time for people like that. I hate fakers, and that's what the devil is. He's a faker. He'll parade into your life, young ladies, and tell you, you know what? I bet you can't cut your hair and get away with it. I bet you can't just trim the ends and then curl it just right so when you're in church, the pastor will never know. You say, oh, yes, I can. I'll show you. And you walk in and you put it and you curl it just right and you do this and you walk in and nobody notices and you walk back and you think you are so cool. And the devil's just playing you. He's manipulating you. I bet you can't carry that trash to the corner. I bet you can't run to the room and get my book for me. See, that's the game Satan's playing with you. He'll tell some of you young men, say, you know, you're handsome, you're debonair. If you just play it right, you can get anything you want from that young lady. And so, you know, you take her out and you buy her flowers and chocolates and give her a nice dinner. And then you have your way with her and you walk home and say, look at me. I'm just doing my thing. And Satan say, I'm just playing you. I'm just manipulating you. And all the while, you're just saying, dominion, here you go, Satan. You can have it. Go ahead, take it. It's all yours. And we think that we are in charge when Satan is playing us. I've come this morning to remind you who you are. You are born to exercise dominion. We don't need a faker, an imposter, to take away from us what God has given to us and what is rightfully ours. I'm closing. There are some young men and young ladies here today that Satan has taken from you willfully dominion. You have walked into this place today, and somewhere in the last few months, Satan has come to you and he's played you. And you felt you were getting something over on everybody. And you walked with your smug attitude into the church and with your rebellious spirit. knowing that what you did on Friday night should keep you off the platform on Sunday. But you walk up there and you plop down on your instrument. You begin to sing your little solo and you walk up and say, see, I can get away with it. And Satan's just laughing. Oh yeah, you're people of dominion, right? Come Monday morning, you'll be on the stool. You have your skirt up to here, and you won't have that hair curled, so you can't see the cut. Now it'll be nice and even, and you'll walk down and you'll fit right in, and you'll be like that cow that just puts his leg into the water. See, I'm not out of the church. Everything's all right. And then the next week, you go a little bit further, and you'll be in up to your knee. And all your friends from church saying, why are you doing that? Why are you acting that way? Why aren't you staying close to God? And you get further away from God. You don't understand what sin's going to do to you. And we look at him and say, I can do it. And Satan's playing you. I stand before you this week. I'm going to tell some of you, I hate to say this, but if you leave this place in the same attitude in which you came, next year, you're going to be floundering in a sea of sin. And your friends are going to be on the shoreline saying, please come back. Please come back. And you're going to say, and some of you, you'll probably want to come back, but you will have gone so far, it's going to take a miracle for you to get back to where you need to be. I wonder this morning on the second day of senior youth camp, if there are some young men and young ladies who would be willing to admit, you know what? I've allowed Satan to play with my mind a little bit. I've allowed Satan to feed some lies to me and begin to make me think that, you know what, I'm doing my own thing, but I'm really not. I'm just playing right into his hands. There are some of you that are dating people you shouldn't be dating. Your parents have warned you against you. Your pastor has pled with you. But no, you're doing your own thing. You know better. There are some of you that your parents and your pastor are trying to get you out of attitudes and out of crowds you're hanging out with. And you're saying, I'm doing my own thing. No, you're not. All you're doing is loosening your grip on dominion. And Satan is walking in and he's picking your spiritual pocket. And he's walking away and you're standing there thinking, oh, I'm in charge. Look at me. I'm cool. And Satan's saying, you're the biggest fool that ever lived since Adam. What God gave you and what I took from Adam, I'm taking from you. I wonder this morning as I open these altars, are there some young men and some young ladies that will come to this altar and say, you know what? Satan, I'm not going to allow you to steal from me. I'm not going to allow you to take from me what God has rightfully placed into my hand. Come on, you need to lift your hand and say, God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, young ladies, reclaim dominion in your life. Come on, young men, don't let Satan lie to you and say that you're doing your own thing. You're not doing your own thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, that's right. Cry out to God. God, I'm not going to be a victim of my past. I'm going to reclaim what is rightfully mine. I was born to have dominion over sin. I was born to be victorious. Come on, that's right. Commit yourself to purity. Commit yourself to righteousness. Come on, lift your voice. Satan, we're not playing the games anymore. Of repentance sweep through this room. God, forgive us. Empower us again. Thank you. myself. God, I'm not going to let sin reign in my body. I'm not going to let it happen. Just a minute. I don't know why God's leading me in this direction, but I believe this morning that there are some young men and young ladies who need to recommit themselves to purity in this camp. There is sexual sin that's trying to work its way into the church. And I want to know how many young men and young ladies would just be willing to slip their hand up this morning and say, God, I'm not giving away the power over my body that you gave to me. God, I commit myself to purity. I may have failed in the past. I may have made mistakes in my past. But from this day forward, God, I'm going to take dominion over my body. I'm not going to let sin reign in it. I'm not going to let someone take advantage of it. God, I'm going to commit myself to you. You'll give me power when temptation comes. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, let's commit ourselves today. God, we're going to be pure. We're going to be holy. We're going to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. Come on, that's why I lift your voice, commit it to God before Satan today. Satan, you cannot have dominion over this body. That's right. Come on, proclaim it. Thank you.
Thank you.